for listening to this message from the Altar Fellowship.
All right, fam. So, you know, I have now for a little bit more than 15 years, I've had the privilege to be able to be in full-time ministry, to preach the gospel over those 15 years to millions of people on every populated continent all over the world. And in that time, I've seen the gospel change lives, set captives free, heal broken hearts, broken homes, cover the shame of people's past, and redirect and reshape people's future over and over and over and over and over again. I am more convinced today than I ever have been before that the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. That it is powerful, that there is no sin, there is no darkness, there is no deception or depravity that is strong enough to withstand the gospel of Jesus. The light of the truth of Christ just obliterates our bondage and our darkness. And I've seen it happen more times than I could begin to count. And so we have this amazing privilege of being able to gather together, you know, every week and celebrate what Jesus has done in our lives, in our families, in our community. And I felt like, you know, through the years, one of my favorite things about the gospel, or one of the things that has struck me the most and sort of captured my imagination more than any other about the gospel is this, that no matter who preaches the gospel is the same. No matter what color their skin is, no matter how old or how young they may be, no matter what language they may speak while they preach it, the gospel remains the same. That the gospel is the same to those of us who live in 2024 as it was to those of us who lived in the first century AD. The gospel of Jesus Christ has never changed. It has endured and prevailed against opposition, persecution, division, and hardship, generation after generation after generation, and it has traveled all across the world. And so one of the things that to me always strikes me is that, you know, I could walk into a Methodist church in Germany, or I could walk into a Nazarene church in Brazil, or I could walk into an underground church in China, and the gospel they're gonna preach is going to be the same. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. What an amazing message we've been given to share with the world. It's the reason we have hope. It's the reason we have purpose. And it's the reason that our lives have meaning. And so today, I dreamed of these events that we were gonna do here in Seeger Chapel, and I always dreamed that we would make them unique and unpredictable. And this one, you know, I didn't know what the Lord wanted to do, and was just sort of waiting and waiting and waiting, like, all right, God, I need you to come up with an idea here. I'm getting nervous, you know. And a couple weeks ago, a good friend of mine, an amazing man of God named Brian Barcelona, reached out to me. You'll get to hear from him in a little while. And I just said, hey, what are you doing on Easter? And he said, I'm coming to Tennessee, dude. Let's go. And so... So he's gonna be here. But today, instead of just me standing up here and preaching, you know, an Easter message to you, I feel like hearing from more voices than just mine will maybe help you see in the gospel what I have seen all these years, that it's the same gospel no matter who preaches it, what part of the world or the country they came from, and that their experience of Jesus only serves to add fuel to the fire of our love for him, amen? And so today we're gonna get to hear from three speakers. I'll be finishing the morning out, but this first speaker that we get to receive from is an amazing man of God. I've had the privilege to know and walk with now for a couple years, and to see his family flourish and thrive has been one of the great honors of my life. I am so proud of him, his yes to the Lord, and the purity of his heart in the midst of what can often be immense weight and responsibility that he's carrying as a national and international ministry leader. So would you please stand and join me in receiving Jacob Coyne, the son of this house, to the stage this morning.
Wow, you guys are looking good this morning. Happy Easter. I'm just soaking this in right now because the only reason why we get to be here today is because there is a resurrection. We wouldn't be here in this room if Jesus had not had risen from the dead. That's why we're here. If there's no resurrection, there's no Christianity. If there's no resurrection, there's no salvation. And I'm looking across this room right now and I see so many people that I know and love. I've seen your marriage restored. And the only reason why that's happened is because there's a resurrection. There's so many of us here today that are celebrating Jesus, not just because we believe him, but because we know him personally. We've gone past belief. We have a knowing because we've experienced the resurrection in our own lives. There's so many in this room that have gone from death to life because that's what the gospel is. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. And today, if you're feeling dead on the inside, you're gonna walk out of this place alive because Jesus is alive, amen? So I wanna give you a case for the resurrection before Brian comes up and then Maddie comes up later, because there's some people here that are maybe wondering, is it all true? What if it's all true? And what does that mean for me? And that question, what if this is all true, isn't a bad question to ask. I actually think that Peter, one of Jesus's favorites, asked this very same question as Jesus was in the tomb. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you open them up to John chapter 20? We're gonna read the story of the resurrection, starting in verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. Man, today there are people that are going to see and believe. You're going to see and believe. I believe healing is gonna take place today. Salvation is gonna take place today. Deliverance, addictions are gonna be broken today. You will see proof of the resurrection and you will believe. But before we get into that, can we just step into the shoes of Peter here? Let's rewind a little bit to Thursday and Friday when Jesus was crucified, when he was arrested and then crucified. Peter, just weeks before, told Jesus, "I'll go anywhere with you, Jesus. I'll die with you, Jesus." And Jesus is like, yes, Peter, that's really great, that's really great. Jesus knew exactly what Peter was about to do on Thursday evening, right after the Last Supper, going into midnight, all the way to the crucifixion. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny Jesus 3 times. So Peter denies Jesus 3 times on Friday, and then he was so filled with shame that he didn't even dare to stand next to Jesus at the crucifixion. The Bible tells us that Peter stood a far way off just to watch the crucifixion from a distance. And I could imagine Peter at this moment thinking, his soul is bankrupt. I'm doomed. I denied Jesus. Didn't Jesus once say, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven"? I'm sure Peter is absolutely in anguish at this moment, knowing that he's losing his best friend, his Lord, his Savior, his King. And he's wondering, am I ever going to talk to him again? Will he ever take me back again? Now Jesus is crucified, he's buried in the tomb, and Peter's in hideout mode. The Bible tells us in other versions of this portion of scripture that the disciples are hiding in an upper room. They've locked the door. They're afraid that they're gonna get crucified next. I think Peter is in anguish in this moment. So then Mary walks in on Sunday morning and she says, "Guys, pick your head up, Peter. Jesus is alive. He's not there. Where is he? I don't know where he is, but he's not there. Peter starts running. I love that Peter had the audacity, after all that he did, to run to the tomb. Why? Because he was desperate. He was desperate for a resurrection. Because Peter was in his own tomb. Peter was broken and lost. He had sinned against God. And without a resurrection, everything in Peter's life is now broken. He was going to have to stop being a disciple and go back to being a fisherman. His life with Jesus was over as he knew it. But if there is a resurrection, if it's all true, Peter has new life. So he goes running. I love, by the way, that John wrote this. And he says, he doesn't mention his name, but he's like, the disciple that Jesus loved ran faster than Peter. Like, he just had to throw that in there. But I also wonder, maybe Peter was running a little bit slower than John because he's thinking about his prodigal son speech, his repentance speech. What if Jesus is alive? What if I see him at the tomb? What am I gonna say? Will he take me in? Will he accept me? Will he forgive me? Or will he let John come? And will he push me away? I wonder what Peter was really thinking. And I just love that when they walk into that tomb, they both believe. They both believe. And later here in scripture, we see that Jesus and Peter do meet together. They have a reunion. And what does Jesus do? He restores Peter. And then Peter in the book of Acts, he was the one who preached the first gospel message to unbelievers. That is what the resurrection does. He went from being in hideout mode to preaching the gospel with boldness, unashamed of the gospel, and unafraid of accusers. Peter had been restored. So that question, what if it's all real? What if he's really alive? What if he was really raised from the dead? It's not a bad question to ask. I think Peter really did ask that own question in his heart. So if you're here and you're wondering if the resurrection is true, how do we find that out? We don't have a tomb to go into. I went to the tomb last year in Jerusalem. We don't really know if that's the real tomb of Jesus. But how do we find out now, here and now? Not then and there. We can't go back in time 2,000 years ago and see the linen cloths with the blood of Jesus on it. How do we find out here today? Well, proof of the resurrection, biblically speaking, is this. If you've been delivered from demonic forces, if you've been delivered from an addiction, if your marriage was on the brink of divorce, but now you're restored, I would say that's proof of the resurrection. If you were on the wide road that was leading to destruction, but then suddenly there was a change in your heart, maybe some of you in this room, you used to hate God. But then you had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He spoke to you. He touched you. He turned that heart of stone and he made it a heart of flesh. That is proof of the resurrection. Because there's 4,200 other religions out there. But there's only one man, one leader of this religion here that was raised from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ. Every other leader of every other religion, they're dead. Their bones are in the ground. But Jesus Christ, you can't find his bones anywhere. He is alive, and he is very much in this room today. If you're looking for proof, if you're wondering, is the resurrection real? What if it's real? Let me start with me. 16 years old, addicted to so many things, addicted to women. I was always after women, drinking, smoking, partying, stealing from the mall every time I had a chance to go to the mall. Absolute troublemaker. And then one day my dad comes home from a Bible study and I see something different in his eyes. I saw a resurrection in my dad. And I said, Dad, take me there right now. He said, I can't, it's 10 p.m. and the leader of the Bible study is like 75 years old. He's definitely asleep. Please take me next week. He said, sure, son, I'll take you next week. You're gonna get changed. And I experienced resurrection. See, Christianity isn't about good morality. It isn't about working your way to Jesus. It's about meeting Jesus personally and letting him change you from the inside out. And that's what happened to me at age 16. In a moment, I walked into this Bible study I encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivered me from lust, from my addictions, from insomnia, from anxiety, from depression. I had suicidal thoughts on a daily basis. And in a moment, it vanished. It was gone. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can be filled with the Holy Spirit is if there's a resurrection. Come on. I was a sinner. I was lost and broken. How could a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, live in someone like me? Only if there's a cross and a resurrection. And because there was a cross and because there was a resurrection, I can receive the breath of God in my lungs. And I've been transformed. I've been burning for Jesus for 15 years. And I burn brighter every day because there's resurrection life in my bones. So, for the skeptics in the room, for those wondering, what if it's all true? I'll be the first to say it's true in me. There's no way a Christian TED Talk could have saved me. There's no way a self-help book could have saved me. I was too far gone. But if there's a resurrection, I can be saved. Here I am, free. I'm not making this stuff up. I've been doing this for too long. If this wasn't real, I would have quit this thing. This is real and true in my life. It's real and true in my wife, in my children. I've seen God encounter my little children when they call on his name. Only if there's a resurrection could that happen. So I want to ask you in the room. It says that they saw and believed. John and Peter saw and believed. I want to help you see and believe right now. And then I want to pray and allow Brian to come up. If you've had a resurrection in your life, maybe a resurrection in your marriage. You were on the brink of divorce. This was an impossible situation. But if there's a resurrection, you can be restored. If you've had that happen in your life, would you stand up to your feet with your spouse if you've had a resurrection? Come on, see and believe. See and believe. If you've had an addiction broken, stand up to your feet. If you've been set free from an addiction, stand up. Come on, see and believe. See and believe. There is a resurrection. If you've had a prodigal son or daughter or a family member come back to Jesus, stand up to your feet. Or if maybe if that's been you, stand up to your feet. Come on, see and believe. If you've had an impossible thing happen in your life, maybe you've had a diagnosis and you've been supernaturally healed. Doctors couldn't heal you. Only a miracle from God can heal you. Stand up to your feet if that's happened to you. Come on. See and believe. Jesus is alive. Come on, do we believe it? He's alive in this place. Come on. I want to pray for all of us right now that hearts in this room, if you're wondering, can I experience what these people experienced? Can I experience what Peter and John experienced? Can I run to the tomb like Peter and John did? I want to pray for you as Brian makes his way up to continue to preach this word, that you would have the courage to get out of hiding like Peter did and run to the tomb by the end of this time. Jesus, I thank you so much that there is life in this room. Restored marriages, broken bodies healed. Cancer has gone away, Lord. Addictions have been broken, Lord. Impossible things have happened because we have the God who does the impossible. He raised Jesus from the dead, and we believe it. And we're believing it for everyone in this room, from the front to the back, that they would receive the resurrection of Jesus Christ by the end of this time. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Take your seat and welcome Brian.
Thank you for tuning in to this service from the Altar Fellowship. We pray that you were impacted powerfully by this message. If you have been personally affected by our ministry and you would like to partner with the Altar as we work to establish the Kingdom of Heaven, please visit our website at www.thealtar.org.